Let's open to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we've been studying through Psalm 119 for a period of time now. Let's recall a little bit about this particular psalm. It is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It is also the longest so-called chapter, quote-unquote, in the Bible, having 175 verses, I believe. It is divided into 22 parts, and each part begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, as we look at this, basically, what this psalm is saying is that every letter of the alphabet praises God and His Word. As we think about that, we also understand that in this psalm, the Word of God is described in many different ways. Sometimes the psalm mentions the laws of God, or the testimonies, or the ways, or the precepts, or the statutes, or the commandments, or the judgments. Of course, there is the Word of God, and there is also the truth. And so each one of these various different words refers to God's Word. And there is great respect shown for the Word of God in this psalm. We need to have the same respect for God's Word as well. So, the reason behind our studying through Psalm 119. This evening, we're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72. And so I hope that you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 119, 65 through 72. And let's look at this section of Psalm 119 before we begin. The psalmist writes, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins, gold, and silver." Well, as we think about this psalm, you may notice that the psalmist reflects upon the idea of being afflicted and that how affliction can be good for us. And so that's going to be the central thought of our lesson tonight. Though we may be afflicted, God's Word teaches us. Now let's keep that thought in mind as we look at the central features of this particular part of Psalm 119. First of all, though we may be afflicted, God's Word teaches us that God is good. Second, though we may be afflicted, God's Word teaches us that afflictions refine the righteous. And then third, though we may be afflicted, God's Word teaches us that the wicked will not comfort us in our afflictions. So let's think about those three points tonight as we consider Psalm 119, God's Word and our afflictions. God's Word and our afflictions. First of all, let's note this. Though we may be afflicted, God's Word teaches us that God is good. Look at verse 68 in this psalm. "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." You know, that's a central point that we need to remember when we are enduring afflictions. Often it is the case that when hard times come, people point the accusatory finger at God and say, "Why me, Lord? What have I done to you?" And then proceed to complain about their circumstances, whatever they might be. This psalm stands diametrically opposed to that attitude. Because, in essence, what the psalmist is saying is, even in my afflictions, God is good. Notice verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. God's commandments, that is God's word, give us good judgment, and they give us good knowledge. And so God is good, and we need to remember that when we're suffering afflictions. James writes in James 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So you see, God is not responsible for our temptations. God is not responsible for the evil that comes into our life. He's not responsible for other people's wickedness and the wrong things that they do. And he's certainly not responsible for the choices that we make that are wrong, that bring affliction upon us. And so as we think about God's word and our afflictions, the first thing that we must confess is that God is good. In James 1 verse 17, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God gives good gifts, and he constantly gives good gifts, and that's all that he gives is good gifts. And so when we receive something that's good, we can thank God for those good things. God doesn't change. There's no variation with him. He's not going to give us something good on one day and then give us something that's bad or evil on another day. He's going to be consistent in giving us good things. The Bible also gives us good things. It teaches us things that we need to know to act in a good moral way. And it also teaches us about where good things come from. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we read, all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for knowledge in the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so if there's a good work that we can be involved in, the Word of God provides that information so that we can do what is good. And so though we may be afflicted, God's Word teaches us that God is good. And that's the first thing that we need to remember when we're enduring afflictions. But then secondly, in this Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72, we learn that afflictions refine the righteous. Verse 67 says this, before I was afflicted, I was astray, but now I keep your word. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is that when I don't have afflictions within my life, I don't see the need for God within my life. So many people today are satisfied with their circumstances and content with who they are. They're self-sufficient people as we think about things from the biblical perspective. And because of that, they may look at their life and say, what need do I have for God? I've got everything that I want. I've got my house. I've got my job. I've got my automobiles and bank account and wife and kids and all these wonderful things. I've got all these wonderful things. What need do I have of God? I have a great life without God. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying here. That afflictions actually help us remember that we need God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And we will go astray if we don't understand that we need God. But he said this, but now, that is, after I've been afflicted, I keep your word. And so you see, afflictions remind us that we are completely dependent upon God and that we need Him. And when we realize that we need God within our life, we're going to turn to His Word and study it and understand it and seek to apply it to our lives. Verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." And so that's just kind of the opposite of what was said in verse 67. The psalmist doesn't look at his afflictions and say, "Woe is me! How horrible is it that I have suffered all of these things?" That's not his attitude. His attitude is, "Yes, I've had afflictions in my life, but it's a good thing that I have those afflictions, because if I didn't have those afflictions, I wouldn't have learned the Word of God like I should have." I'll confess within my own life that I've had some afflictions. Many of those afflictions have been, regrettably, self-inflicted. And that seems to be the way it is with the way we live our lives sometimes. But looking back on those things today, I look at them and I say, you know what? Even though those were difficult times and I had some problems as I was going through that, I have no regrets. And you say, well, why do you have no regrets? Because I wouldn't be the person that I am today without the afflictions that I suffered. And I'm very happy in the situation that I'm in today. I'm very content and thankful to God for how He has blessed me today. And if I were to have any more afflictions in my life, and I'm sure there will be more that come in my life, I now have a different perspective upon those afflictions. I can be patient with them, and I can understand that there is hope on the other end of them, and I can endure. Even though they may bring me pain, and even though I may have some emotional suffering at the time, nevertheless, I can endure, and I can get through them. And that's what my afflictions have taught me from the past. And that's what the psalmist is reflecting upon as well. You see, we get a deeper and better understanding of God's Word as we suffer afflictions within our life. Without those afflictions, our understanding of God's Word would be very shallow indeed. And you say, well, why is that? Because a lot of what God's Word teaches us is how to trust in God even in the most difficult of times. And when I put my faith and trust in God, then I can get through those times as God wants me to get through those times. Life, sometimes we refer to life and we think about it as a big test. And really, that's kind of what life is. It's a test. It's an opportunity for us to endure so that we can demonstrate our faith in God, and in demonstrating that faith, God can then reward us with eternal fellowship with Him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, Peter writes this, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is Peter saying there? He's saying that we endure afflictions so that we can know that our faith is genuine. And that genuine faith then can be presented to God with much praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. And so we are tested by fire today, just like gold is put into a fire, and it is heated up until it is melted, and then the dross, the impurities, are wiped away from the top of the gold, so that all that's left is that pure 24 karat gold. So also God is refining us. He's heating us up, as it were, through afflictions, and through trials, and through troubles. But then once we get through those tests, we will be refined like that gold, and our faith will be 24 carats. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul gives us these wonderfully reassuring words. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so those who love God can be assured that whatever trials come their way, or afflictions, or temptations, that all of those things will work together to produce good. And so we can say with the psalmist, it is good to have been afflicted that I may learn your statutes. Though we may be afflicted, God's word teaches us that afflictions refine the righteous. And then finally this evening, though we may be afflicted, God's word teaches us that the wicked will not comfort us in our afflictions. Many people make the mistake of thinking, well, I should go to another wicked person when I'm afflicted. Have you ever heard the old expression, misery makes good company, or something along those lines? Or misery loves company, I think it is. A lot of people want to go to someone else and complain about their circumstances and about their problems. And they want to find company, others who are the same misfortune as they are in. And in doing that, we seek the wrong source to deal with the afflictions that we receive in this life. We ought not to go to the wicked for comfort in our afflictions. The wicked are not going to provide the right answer that we need in order to endure those afflictions. And the wicked certainly aren't going to be able to take away the afflictions that we have within our life. No, the wicked can't do anything about the afflictions that we have other than provide us a false sense of comfort in thinking, well, at least I'm not alone in all this. I can have a pity party with more than just myself. Such a solution does not provide long-term reassurances for our life. Just the opposite. It inflicts more suffering upon us because after we've gone away from the pity party, nothing has been done to address the real issue. And what might that be? It might be our own sin within our life that we never address. And as a result of that, not addressing it, that is, that sin gets deeper and deeper and causes more and more problems for us. Well, the wicked are certainly not going to have the answer. Look at what the psalmist wrote in verses 69 and 70. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. The proud, what are they going to do? They're simply going to use us for their own benefit. And that's what the wicked typically do. They think of themselves first and not about others. And so they're going to force lies against us. They will use what we tell them, seeking comfort in our afflictions, for their own benefit and their own personal gain. Their heart is as fat as grease, the psalmist says. And what that indicates is that they just suck up everything to themselves. And that's all they're interested in, is self. But when we turn to the Word of God and put our trust in Him, we'll find that we can deal with our afflictions and the problems that we have in life. As opposed to putting our trust in the crowd, let's keep the Lord's precepts with our whole heart. As opposed to simply building the selfishness of the wicked, let's delight in God's law. Verse 65 says this, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word." You see, God is not like the wicked. He's not out for himself. He's out to help us. And he wants us to have good things within this life. Good things, that is, based upon his standard of goodness, not upon our standard of goodness. But nevertheless, when the psalmist reflects upon what God has really done for him, he considers that he has dealt well with his servant, and that the word of God has done him well also. Look then at the last verse of the psalm, verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Even in thinking about the benefits that money can have for us in dealing with afflictions in this life, money can certainly have some benefits in dealing with our afflictions. Nevertheless, the psalmist says the word of God is far above and far beyond all those things. Money may be able to buy me better health, for example, but it cannot buy me contentment with that health. Money may be able to provide some food and clothing and shelter, but money is not going to help me have love with my family. No, the best things come from God. And so that's why the law of God's mouth is better to us than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." God is the one who is the God of all comforts. Not the wicked, not wealth, not any other physical thing that we may have in this life. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at the words of the Apostle Paul in sending comfort to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." There is wonderful, beautiful comfort that is found in God and his word. And that is available for us today. Let's remember this great message of Psalm 119 in verses 65 through 72. Though we may be afflicted, God's word teaches us, number one, that God is good. Number two, that afflictions refine the righteous. And number three, that the wicked will not comfort us in our afflictions. One of the things that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7, is that if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And we have tremendous amount of comfort in salvation today. Knowing that we are forgiven of our sins in Christ Jesus is a great blessing that no amount of friends can provide, that no amount of money can provide, and that only the word of God can give us to comfort us regarding that matter. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who has not been forgiven of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you need to do that. This evening, Jesus calls you to hear his word, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess him as Lord, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And then you can have that wonderful comfort in him that God gives. Do you need to ask for the prayers of the church? And so, call upon the comfort of God this evening. That opportunity is available for you as well. If you have a need tonight, you can come forward and make that known while we stand and sing.